Here we are. We're already on trust intensive number 4. Can you believe it? Time flies when you're having fun. I know a lot of good things have been happening. We have a lot of testimonies that we were standing after last week's, just hearing testimonies of just the financial things that have already been happening, and we're going to give people the opportunity to share those coming up. So get your testimony ready. And if one hasn't happened for you, it's on the way, because he is in the hood working right now. Amen. So we'll pray and we'll get started and turn it over to Nate. I'm excited about tonight. It's going to be awesome, right? Yeah. Father in heaven, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we're trusting in you. We're looking to you. You're our source of supply. And we're letting go of these past crutches and things that we've been holding on to, Father. We're letting those things go, following you, looking to you. You're our source. And I thank you that giants are already falling, cutting those heads off, Father. And never looking back on those things, moving forward to your plan, your will being accomplished in our lives. And so I just thank you. And tonight I just thank you for breakthroughs in people's lives. I thank you for the power of God already flowing in this place and lives being changed for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, TCI number 4, everybody. Quick review for you. We started out with slaying some giants. We named some giants. We won't let you rehearse those tonight, lest anyone call mine out. Thank you, Sam. We talked about getting off the world system. Eddie did a great job talking about God's system versus the world system and trusting in uncertain riches versus trusting in whom? God? Okay. You tracking? Anybody here tonight? Are you with me? I'm here. I need your help with some review. Okay. And then last week we talked about leading our what? Treasure. Okay, we talked about leading our treasure, that our heart and our treasure are fundamentally connected. Did you work on your values this week? Did you think about your values? Did you write some down? Did you think about how your values are connected to your budget? I hope you did your homework. That's very important for you. Tonight we're going to talk about another practical topic with spiritual implications. We're talking about destroying debt. Everybody say destroying debt. Now let's get a war cry going on, like you're going to be battling some debt, destroying some debt. All right, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Yeah! All right, that's good. I got your battle cry going. Got to wake everybody up, release some pent-up stress. Good for you. Awesome. Let's read our theme scripture in the Message translation. I'm going to steal this one from Eddie. I like to start every TCI with this, because this is our theme. This is back to the core of why we're doing this. All right. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Okay, here we go. He's already going to battle against this guy. Ow, they hurting me. Ow. Okay. Cool. So 1 Timothy 6. Thank you, Pastor. Tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves. Look at your neighbor and say, stop being so full of yourself. Some of you have been waiting way too long to say that to your neighbor there. Quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money. Think about that. Obsessed. Isn't that the world's way? This obsession with money. We don't have enough. We're trying to get more. And what we do have isn't going to be enough. And so we're like on this quest, right? This quest for the buried treasure. So obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. And many of us know that to be true. Tell them, however, to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. And a few things they need to do here: to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. And isn't that the goal, right? We're trusting God, and the reward is that we gain a treasury that will last, and we gain life that is truly life. And many of us are experiencing life that truly isn't life because we're so tied up and tied down with debt. The D word, the infamous D word, debt. Now, most of Americans see debt as a way of life. The main reason that we use debt is to get something we think we need at this present moment with money we don't yet have. All right? We think we need something, so we use a credit card, we get a loan. We think we need this at this very moment, and we're buying it with money we don't yet have, with the promise of paying it back. But debt really is a slippery slope, and many of us have found that to be true. I'll tell some stories on myself in just a second. But Larry Burkett said this, "We spend the first 5 to 7 years of our marriage trying to attain the standard of living our parents had, only it took them 35 years to get it." And, you know, I found that to be true in my own marriage. Early on in our marriage, you get a house, you get 2 cars, you go after making some kids, and you're trying to attain this standard of living in a shortened amount of time. We'll talk about that in a second. Here's the epidemic of debt. You ready for some numbers? Average credit card debt per household is $15,552. This is in America here, and this poll was done this year, earlier this year. Average mortgage debt is $152,209 per household. The average student loan debt is $32,986. Okay, add that up, and somebody else could do the math because I didn't do that beforehand, but that's a whole lot of debt, right? It's a lot of money that Americans as a whole, we owe. And this is, just again, average. Some people have more. Some people have less. I hope you're on the lesser side of things here in this particular case. But many of us, we get in debt because we think we need something at this moment, and we're promising to pay it back. That's what debt really is. Now, debt takes place a lot of times because we pay this thing that Dave Ramsey calls stupid tax. Anybody ever paid stupid tax before? Stupid tax is when, like for instance, you're a freshman at Clemson University and you go by the Clemson bookstore and they have strategically placed a table with some people offering you a free t-shirt and a free hat to sign up for this little thing called a Visa card. And it's even got like the university mascot on there and everything. So you think, man, this will be cool if I sign up for one of these, right? So you, as an average freshman who doesn't know anything about money, you sign up for this credit card, and you immediately take your newfound credit limit of $1,000, which I don't know how they offered that to a college student who has no money. They think you're going to pay back $1,000. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know who's paying the stupid tax here, them or me. So you take your credit card into the bookstore and you begin to buy merchandise after merchandise after merchandise until, before you know it, you've racked up in one semester $400 of debt for clothing for a team you really don't even care about. Okay, maybe it's just me, but I've paid a bit of stupid tax in my life, all right? Stupid tax is buying something you think you need with money you don't presently have. And so it took me a while to pay that off. Another stupid tax that I paid, and, you know, forgive me if I step on your toes here, but a stupid tax I paid was buying a new car. Because in my particular case, we went to the car lot and we bought this new car, drive it off the lot, and a lot of times what happens is it immediately depreciates, right? Cars don't go up in value unless you have like a really old one that you've restored, right? Eddie, did you ever have one of those?
No.
Okay. You gave all yours away. You drove them till the wheels fell off and then gave them off all away. But our particular deal, we got a loan for 5 years, and then at the end of that, we had what's called a balloon payment. Anybody ever done that? Yeah, you're not as stupid as me. A balloon payment, and after 5 years, we still hadn't paid the car off, and we still owed $8,000 on it. What? All right, so that's just a stupid tax number two. Learned my lesson from that one. We own our cars free and clear right now. Praise God. We don't owe any money on our cars right now. Awesome. But really, the only wise debt we've ever used is the mortgage on our house, because your house goes up in value. So I'm not saying, let's just say, lay this on the table. I'm not saying all debt is bad. I'm not saying that you're sinning if you're in debt. No, we're not making any of those claims. What I'm saying is there is a better way to live. There's a better way. There's a higher way to live. There's a way in which we live trusting God, gaining life that is truly life, a life that is free and clear of bondage. All right? Now, just some practical steps. We've got a lot of our giants up here have to do with debt. If we could just be honest in here and say, one of my giants is debt. Could you just raise your hand and say, that's one of my giants? All right, so this is real practical tonight. I'm raising my hand. That's one of my giants as well. Or more appropriately, that's one of the masks my giant is wearing, okay? Because we realize that the real giant is not necessarily what we've written down, but the real giant is one of the things is that we're not leading our treasure. All right, and we're buying things we think we need with money we don't yet have. Okay, so practical debt freedom steps. You guys want to destroy some debt? You guys want to get out of debt? You want to be rid of that debt? You want to be free and clear? Well, let's go to battle, all right? The first step is quit borrowing more money, all right? Everybody say that. The easiest and quickest way to get out of a hole is to stop digging, all right? Stop digging yourself even deeper in that hole that you're doing. So an anonymous quote here is, if you want to get better off financially, quit buying things. All right. Quit buying things. You'll see your bottom line go up immediately. Like your income will stay in and not go out if you stop buying things. I know that's not a way of life. You have to buy things, but you don't necessarily have to buy the things that you think you need with the money that you don't yet have. Right. We don't necessarily have to buy that big screen TV that's on sale this week because we think we need it because our current TV is probably working all right. It may be one of those big tube things. But it works, right? And if we were really listening to the sermon this morning, maybe we would get rid of our TVs. Okay. All right. So we don't really need a bigger and better, right? What we need is less. Maybe less TV would be nice. All right. Number two, you must save money. Save money. Everybody say save. All right, so this is practical step number two. You have to save money because a lot of times we use our credit cards for what? Emergencies. There you go. So what you need to do is save money, and Dave Ramsey will tell you that you need an emergency fund. It means you need and start with about $1,000 in that because when the car needs new tires, when the car breaks down, then immediately you don't go to the credit card to spend money you don't yet have. You're actually spending money that you've amassed over time and funded your emergency fund for that particular case so that your default isn't to go straight to the credit card when an emergency arises, right? You go to your emergency fund, spending cash. So you got to save. Number three, prayer really works. God wants to be involved in this process. He wants to help you. We see in the scriptures time after time where he helped pay people's debts. He got them out of debt. And maybe we'll talk about some of those in days to come. Number four, sell something. Everybody say sell something. Perhaps you've got... You're paying some stupid tax on your brand new car. Maybe you need to sell it and buy a used car that works all right, that works well and gets you from here to there. That would be a way to get out of debt, to go ahead and sell it. Sell something that you currently have in your house. Do a yard sale, whatever you can to save money to fund that emergency fund. Kind of a quick way to build up your emergency fund so that you can start doing one of these next things. Number five, part-time job or overtime temporarily. Get some overtime pay. Again, this is to help you fund your emergency fund so that you're not borrowing more money, as it says in number one. And then finally, number six, which is part of our homework assignment, is the debt snowball. So I'm not going to go into details about that. We'll give you a sheet for you to do for homework. Many of you have heard of the debt snowball, but if you haven't, we're going to explain it to you. It's on the sheet that we'll hand you for homework. And you can begin to put that into practice. These are practical things that you can do to destroy debt in your life. How many of you have paid off debt before? How does that feel? Feels good, right? You feel a little freer. You feel like your shoulder's not as tensed up all the time. Your brow starts to lift a little bit because you're not so angry at the world and yourself. It feels good, right? So you're gonna celebrate every victory as you pay off credit card after credit card, if you pay off student loan, after you pay off your house. Woohoo! And, okay, cool. Anybody else looking forward to that? I know I am. It's gonna be great. Alright. Now let's get into the spiritual side of this because I think it's infinitely more important, the spiritual side of destroying debt that really gets God involved in our finances in this way. Destroying debt, and write this point down. Destroying debt begins with the decision to trust God through faith and patience. Everybody say faith and say patience. Faith and patience. We'll read a scripture here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Everybody say, inherit the promises. Now we're in a faith church, we're a faith community. We understand that the Bible is full of promises, right? And all of God's promises, as it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ. We have a surety that God's promises will come to pass. But how do we inherit the promises? Well, I would submit to you, according to the scripture, that we inherit the promises through faith and patience. Let me define them for you. Faith is trusting God. Trusting God instead of money. Isn't that the whole reason we're doing this? To migrate our trust back from uncertain riches to where it needs to be, trusting God. So that's faith. That's the faith part. That's believing God will come through for His word. That is trusting Him instead of our money. Patience. All right, let's talk about patience for a second. I know I'm going to step on some toes here because I step on my own. Just go ahead and curl them up a little bit in your shoes. Curl them up. All right, get them out of the way. Feels weird, doesn't it? Okay, patience. Cheerful or hopeful endurance, fortitude, constancy. Cheerful or hopeful endurance, fortitude, constancy. Here's the deal with debt. The reason that many of us are in debt is because we're impatient. Okay, very quiet. The reason the majority of us are in debt is because we're impatient. We're impatient, right? It's because here's the deal. We understand that if we're trusting God instead of money, we have this faith aspect going on for us, right? We're trusting God instead of uncertain riches. We have a promise on the other end of that, that He will load us up with riches, right? That we will gain a treasury that will last. We will gain life that is truly life. But the problem is, we have the faith, or we believe we're in faith, and we may be even confessing, like till our face turns blue, we're saying, I can do all things through Christ, or God, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That may be our confession every single day, but then we'll go out and through our actions, We'll make that confession null and void because we're doing it or making it happen on our own instead of allowing God to work in and through us. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so an ancient writer once said that the key to Roman success was their policy and patience. By patience, the author meant that the Roman quality of persistence in the pursuit of victory by never making peace in defeat. They never made peace in defeat. It was a persistence in the pursuit of victory. I love that definition. That was their definition of patience was a persistence in the pursuit of victory. So patience is this constancy, this conquering constancy. It's a steadfastness in the face of pressure to give in. So what it looks like is when you're believing God for the, here, I'll tell you a personal story. You're believing God for the car, right? I gave my truck away. I believe in God for the car. I'm operating in faith, or so I thought. I'm walking to work. I'm saying my confessions. I'm calling forth what I want. I believe I'm in faith. And then we get a check come in, like an unexpected check from when Kristen was teaching years ago. Like a $4,000 check comes in, and we're like, yes, this must be it. This has to be it. This was what we're believing God for. This has to be it. So what happens? I start looking on Craigslist. $4,000 cars, you know, what can I find for $4,000? And so I'm on my way to look at a truck that I thought I wanted, and it was around $4,000 or so. We had the money to do it. We thought this was from God. I'm on my way to buy the truck, and Kristen calls me up and says, don't go. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This has to be it. Don't you have a piece about this? She said, no, I don't have a piece about this. She said, what I have a piece about is making room for a miracle. And so I'm like, what are you talking about? Make room for a miracle. At that time, I was driving a borrowed vehicle, and so she said, we need to make room for a miracle. Get rid of give the car back. Well, you're not the one walking to work now, lady. Easy for you to say, right? So I acted on in obedience to the voice of my wife, and gave the car back. And that was, again, when I started walking to work. I drove a girl's bike. Eddie told the story a couple weeks ago. Thank you, sir, for embarrassing me. And then I wrecked the bike in front of a bunch of students out here on Warren Road. Embarrassed myself immensely because I was trying to do like a wheelie off of one of the little ramps thing. And I jumped up and then I landed it right. And I was like, yes. And then I rolled into the road out there. And then the chain breaks, you know, and I tumble over that thing. Not wearing a helmet, and everybody's like, oh, that was awesome. And then they're like, oh, he's not getting up and he's laying in the middle of the road. Maybe we should go help him. So they run after me, and I'm just scraped up, and the only thing that was really hurt was my pride on the bicycle. But I got up, brushed myself off, and somebody drove me home. That's the story of the bike. All right, just get you laughing. So I'm riding the bike, and then a few months later, we get the email. Somebody's got a $23,000 vehicle they want to give me. Free and clear. Ask me if I want it. No, I don't know if I really want this. Yes, of course I want it. How soon can you get it to me? And then that's the I'm driving the epitome of faith and patience in my life. But what would have happened was I would have short-circuited a miracle by being impatient, right? And I could have went to the car lot. I could have went and got a loan for something, right? And that would have really been short-circuiting the miracle and digging myself into a trap here. Debt is a shortcut that leads to entrapment. Write that down. Tweet that, if you will. Debt is a shortcut that leads to entrapment. Debt is a shortcut that leads to entrapment. How am I doing on time here? Good? All right. I was driving the miracle mobile. The epitome of faith and patience, one of those prime examples in my life. And the transmission started like slipping. I put it in reverse and it would like jerk, you know. So I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, man, I don't want to invest any money in like a new transmission, so maybe I should go get it checked out. So I go get it checked out at the Ford place, and they tell me you're going to need this, that, and the other, and the end result is you need to spend about $1,800 on repairing this before it gets worse. So, of course, I get a second opinion and see what else we can do, and I get the bill down to about $1,000. They'll do it for $1,000. Well, I didn't really want to spend $1,000 on this. I didn't really have $1,000 to spend on this. The emergency fund had went to other emergencies. And so what I do have, though, is an emergency what? Credit card. Okay, I got the emergency credit card, and I'm thinking, boy, this must be an emergency. I should spend $1,000 now instead of spending $4,000 to replace the transmission later. I'm driving, listen to me, I'm driving the epitome, the dictionary definition of faith and patience. And I go in and I take a shortcut and I swipe the credit card. $1,000 on that thing. I wasn't patient. I wasn't patient. Eddie, I didn't make room for a miracle. It was a shortcut that led to entrapment. $1,000 extra on the credit card that took me months and months and months and months to pay off. Right? $1,000, right? You think that's nothing. But debt is a shortcut that leads to entrapment. Who knows? I could have done the Eddie method. I could have spoke to that vehicle and said, transmission, you work in Jesus' name. This car never leaves me stranded. You know, did his whole confession, and you know what? I could have had a miracle for that vehicle. The transmission, God could have fixed the transmission. Are we trusting God instead of uncertain riches? Are we trusting God instead of our vehicles? But that was stupid tax. That was me being in faith. Oh, I believe God for $1,000, but not patience. You see how the two work hand in hand to inherit the promises. All right, let's end with this. Point number two, destroying debt ends. So it begins with the decision to trust God through faith and patience, but it ends with the decision to break the chains of bondage to your creditors. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. And that's very, very true what takes place is many of us are walking around like that giant there with some chains around our neck. We're in bondage that they have entrapped us. We're now slave to the lender because you know what? They want their money, right? And many times what takes place is we end up paying, we'll pay them before we pay ourselves. We'll pay them before we pay God. We'll pay them before we do a bunch of other things, right? But if we were free from that, we wouldn't have to be concerned with those chains, right? We would, you know, we would feel that freedom that takes place when you pay off one of those credit cards or you pay off one of those debts, right? Now, this is a decision that we have to make. It's not just something that's going to, I mean, the chains aren't just going to fall off because we're sitting in this room hearing the word, right? The chains aren't just going to fall off. It's a decision that we have to make to break the chains. We have to make a quality decision that we're not going to experience any more chains of bondage. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Just from walking in here tonight, you can experience true freedom, but you have to take that step to break the chains. You have to take the step to break the chains. You have to decide, hey, yeah, I'm going to do the practical things, but there's also a spiritual side here. There's a spiritual side that says, am I truly trusting God through faith and patience, or am I trusting God and then enacting, inheriting the promises, or what I think the promises are, through how I behave, or how what I can do to manipulate the circumstances, who I can talk to, not what I know, but who I know, who can I finagle, you know, what kind of deal can I barter here, and trying to make something happen instead of being patient and allowing God to work on our behalf, right? So we need to make that quality decision to break the chains of bondage, and that's what we're going to do right now. We've got an activity. Pastor's going to lead us in this activity here to help us respond to this message. Again, destroying debt begins with trusting God through what? Faith and patience. And it ends with this decision to break the chains. Pastor.
Could you guys move this giant up closer over here? Praise God. That was great. Let's get this chain down here. Eddie, can you grab that chain out there? Take that, thanks. There's a scripture in Psalm 106 that says, they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works, and they served their idols, which became a snare or a trap. And that's what the world is trying to do and has done for many of us in the area of debt. And so this chain here tonight represents our dependency on debt to put us over. Our dependency on debt to put us over. And what that debt system does, it's so strong, is we begin to put our trust in it instead of putting our trust in God. And again, the world does a good job of telling us how much we are lacking. We're not somebody until we have a certain thing. And then the way to get that thing is through the credit card or some kind of a revolving debt program. And what happens is, it may not initially, but one day it becomes a trap. It becomes a hindrance. And really now a lot of your work and a lot of your toil is to pay off debt. And then there's a lot of things that you can't do that you want to do. And we're going to get into, you know, generosity and doing some things for the kingdom of God. But a lot of us, we can't do. And we have a desire to be generous and a desire to be a blessing, but we can't do those things because we're hindered because of our dependency, our former dependency on debt. And, and of course, there's the pressure and all the different things that come with that. Well, tonight, we're going to break our dependency on debt. Tonight's tonight. We're going to do that. And as we've been doing throughout these trust intensives and then during the week, is I think more and more we're seeing to put our trust in God, that He's a good provider, that He is faithful who promised. And, the different plans that we're making, God's going to empower us to pay off debt, empower us to have the emergency fund, empower us to do these things. But again, we have to open our heart, make some decisions, and then begin to move forward and begin to run towards our giant. And he'll empower us to knock that giant down and to take his head off. So let's stand, everybody. And what I want to do, and let's all, and we always do this at Good News Church, let's all catch hands here. Get our chain going, a good kind of chain. And right now, and I mean do this with some passion. I mean, I know we're maybe tired, we've had a long day and all of that, but I want you to fervently pray for that person on either side. Fervently pray. Pray with passion. Pray with intensity. And we're praying that dependency on debt is broken in the name of Jesus. No more. No more are we going to be dependent on the world system. And then I want you to pray for faith and patience, that we're empowered to do these things. Revelation about their plan, whatever else the Lord puts on your heart. We got this. We know what we're doing. Everybody in agreement? So I'll just lead us, but you guys start praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Tonight's the night. This is our night. This is our time. We're not going backwards. We're not staying in place. We are moving forward. And we're looking to you, Father. We're trusting in you. You're our source of supply. So I declare here at Good News Church, dependency on debt is broken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Take your hands off God's property. Take your hands off God's people. We will no longer be hindered. And we are empowered in the name of Jesus to move forward financially so that the desires and the dreams of our heart will come to pass and we'll fulfill the plans of God and we'll have more than enough. We can be generous like we want to be, Lord, and do the things for the kingdom of God like we want to be and take care of our family like we want to do and bless people, bless our kids, bless others. Bless the household of faith. So I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. When you sense that freedom, you just begin to praise Him. Just praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. We are free. We are free. We are free in the name of Jesus. Free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Yeah. Woo! Now, yeah. Hallelujah. Now, have you ever listened to Dave Ramsey's program? And you ever heard somebody come on there and do the debt-free scream? You ought to hear it. I mean, it just makes you, you know, talk about your toes curling. I mean, it is amazing. And they get on there and they tell their testimony, and then they do the debt-free scream. Do they count to three?
Yes.
All right. And we're doing this debt scream by faith. So on the count of three. And let's even count together. Ready? One, two, three. I'm debt free! Woo! Yeah! Now, to mark this in our thinking, I want three guys right here and three guys over here. Nate, come on. Ronnie, come on. Get in here, Bill. Kelly, come on. Yeah, here we go. All right. Take one end of this chain here. You guys grab it over here.
Got me. I'm here. You get it.
And this is a sign of our dependency on debt being broken. And tonight, we're not going to do it right now. We'll do it later. We're going to cut you a link of this chain and bring it, put it with your trust stone. And this might be a really good thing to carry with you in your pocket. Maybe put it right by your credit cards. All right, you guys got some tension here?
Yes, sir.
All right, I need to have some countdown or something from the... we're going to do it in the count of three. All right, let's... Now, how about 10? Let's do 10. Ready? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Woo! All right. Give me this chain. Give me this chain. Yeah! Alrighty, who am I turning it over to? Alright, come on, Eddie. I had to just let that out, guys. Sorry.
Okay, we're about to go into our small groups. We got a discussion, time of prayer. So y'all just go ahead and break into your small groups.